Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The role of NATO was a part of the candidate debate last night.
But when you look at NATO, I was asked on a major show, what do you think of NATO? Now, you have to understand, I'm a business person. I did really well, but I have common sense. And I said, well, I'll tell you. I haven't given lots of thought to NATO.
NATO, as a military alliance, has something called Article 5. And basically it says this, an attack on one is an attack on all. And do you know the only time it's ever been invoked? After 9/11.
Is the U.S. getting a raw deal from its NATO allies? Anders Fogh Rasmussen, Secretary General of NATO from 2009 until 2014, and before that, the Danish Prime Minister, says NATO has been unfairly bashed in the 2016 election. But he also believes that NATO allies need to restore U.S. power and leadership in the world, something that has been lost over the past 8 years. In a new book, The Will to Lead, America's Indispensable Role in the Global Fight for Freedom, Rasmussen says despite the Obama years' mistakes in the Middle East and elsewhere, the U.S. is still the world's 5,000-pound gorilla and has responsibilities whether we like it or not.
I wouldn't say that the United States hasn't made any mistakes, but you could also ask who else than the United States should act as what I call the world's policeman. We need clearly a policeman. When you have a look at Syria, Iraq, Libya, China flexing its muscles, the rogue state, North Korea, we need a policeman to restore law and order in the world, and I don't see any other than the United States. The United States is the only nation capable and credible as the world's policeman.
How important is this election, do you think?
I really do believe that's a crucial election for the world. After 8 years where the United States has demonstrated a reluctance to engage in the world, we need the next president to really take global leadership in leading the free democracies and counter autocracy and terrorists.
Do you have a preference over which candidate is perhaps the best styled to engage? Both seem to be willing to engage on some level more than the current president.
No, for me, it's not a question about a Republican or a Democrat in the White House. Actually, I have both as Prime Minister of Denmark and Secretary General of NATO. I have worked closely with both kinds of presidents, President Bush and President Obama. So for me, it's not a question about a Republican or a Democrat in the White House. It's a question about the will to lead. I'm in the positive situation that I'm not going to vote in the American election. But if I were to vote, I would wait until the very last minute to see who of the two has the will to lead the world.
In terms of world leaders, Vladimir Putin, in your tenure as Secretary General of NATO, really pulled a fast one, it seems like, that he charmed George W. Bush and conveyed even to you, frankly, that you describe in your book, a sense of friendship and that Russia wants to be a part of this new world order. And then he seems to have really shafted all of you at the last minute. How do you feel about all that?
When I first met President Putin in May 2002 as new Prime Minister of Denmark, I saw a very pro-Western Russian president. So I left that summit very optimistic. Then suddenly things changed. And from 2005, we saw a very negative President Putin. It's been worse ever since. And you might ask why. And I see two reasons. One was the Rose Revolution in Georgia in 2003. The next was the Orange Revolution in Ukraine in 2004. President Putin was strongly convinced that the Americans in general and CIA in particular were behind those colored revolutions and that the aim was to spread that to Moscow. And since then, he has been increasingly anti-Western. So he is an embodiment that when the United States retreats, or even is perceived to retreat, the United States will leave behind a vacuum, and that vacuum will be filled by the bad guys.
There's a lot of skepticism about the United States right now. If you go to Estonia or Latvia, there's a certain sort of musing about whether the U.S. would actually defend a Russian invasion of the Baltic states. If there's that doubt, how does the U.S. prevent one of these places from basically changing the map of the world?
That's a very good question. And I think one of the most damaging statements from the current administration is the statement that was presented by an anonymous source that the U.S. was leading from behind. I've never heard the president nor his secretaries use that expression, but nevertheless, it was stated that the U.S. would only lead from behind, which, of course, is, that's ridiculous. You cannot lead from behind. You'll have to lead from the front. And furthermore, one of the presidential candidates, Mr. Trump, has raised doubts about collective defense within NATO because he has stated that he would make that defense dependent on the country's contributions.
Well, he said NATO is obsolete. He said it's obsolete.
Yeah, so all that together has raised doubts about the U.S. commitment to defending its allies. So all in all, we need the next president to really demonstrate, like President Kennedy once did when in his inaugural he stated that the U.S. will pay any price, bear any burden to defend France and promote liberty.
Anders Fogh Rasmussen, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Anders Fogh Rasmussen served as Secretary General of NATO from 2009 till 2014. He's the author of The Will to Lead, America's Indispensable Role in the Global Fight for Freedom.